You're listening to Renaissance Voices, a podcast about stories and the people who have lived them. Let's join Christine and find out who her guest is today.
Well, welcome to Renaissance Voices. My name is Christine O'Dell, and I am the owner of Eight Owls Publishing. As usual, I have another friend who is a guest of mine today, but this lady has a special place in my heart. LaWanda Holder is a strong intercessor in the Lord. She is also someone that has helped me in the beginning stages of my company in several aspects. And I couldn't say that we would be where we are today if LaWanda had not come alongside me and helped. So I want to say that to you right now, LaWanda, even publicly, how much I appreciate your willingness to come alongside me when everything was just a vision. It was just an inkling of something, and you believed in it. You could see it, and you believed in me, and you just came along beside me, and you just were such great help in all aspects. So thank you for that, and welcome to Renaissance Voices.
Good to be with you today.
I'm really excited about this conversation because I know that God's just going to take it wherever he wants it to go, you know? And that is the thing about LaWanda, is that whenever we're together, it just becomes about Jesus. Our conversations become about the Holy Spirit, the kingdom, whatever Jesus wants done. And we find ourselves maybe with an agenda, you know, thinking we're going to get one thing accomplished. And instead, it's something altogether different. But how fun is that?
Yes.
So let me kind of back up and kind of talk about how LaWanda got involved in 8 Owls Publishing. Originally, when I started my freelance writing business, I was offered a job to create curriculum and 2 books for a global evangelistic ministry. And in this ministry, they were planning on equipping evangelists from every country all over the world. And they threw the number out there like 10,000 evangelists. It was a huge undertaking. And I didn't really see how I was going to get that done. I sent them what I thought it would cost for me to do that. And within that projection, I put in there the need and the cost for an assistant because I knew I couldn't do it on my own. And that assistant was LaWanda. She came alongside me and really helped me with all of that. So here's what we did. We took videos from 50 different evangelists that were from all over the world. So although they were in English, some of them didn't necessarily sound like they were in English, especially those that were from Sweden and France. And LaWanda is the one that translated all of those videos into a transcript that I could work from. LaWanda, what was that process like?
Oh my gosh. That was, now in the moment, I don't know that I thought it was so fun, but when I look back on it, it was so much fun because, like, I remember one of the guys from Brazil, he messed up because we had raw video footage, so it hadn't even been edited yet.
Yes.
And he messed up, and he just starts speaking in Spanish, and I don't have a clue what he's saying. And that would happen with the one from Switzerland or the one from France. They would just be going along with their lesson, and all of a sudden they would switch languages in the middle of it and then go back to English. And I'm going, okay, I don't know about this. But it was a lot of fun, and I was not excited about that project because I had a really bad taste in my mouth for evangelism from childhood experiences growing up in the church.
Right.
And so I had evangelism in a box.
Exactly.
An ugly box.
Yeah, we talked about that. I remember us talking about that quite a bit.
Yes. But through this project and listening to all these global evangelists, God ministered to me through these videos in the midst of transcribing. And there were moments where I'd be sitting there thinking, you know, I'm so lost in what God is doing in this moment. And I'm going, Lord, I'm trying to work here. I've got a deadline. Christine needs me to get this done. And I would let you know I was struggling. It was taking longer. And you were going, it's no big deal.
Right.
No big deal. And it was just an awesome season.
It really was an amazing season. I still to this day, I'm trying to figure out how we were tasked with that, you know? But what a precious gift that God gave us to just steward and to bring to life, to write the two books and the curriculum from those videos. And I do remember you talking about that, you know, that the fact that you had grown up and saw evangelism in a particular light, and through these videos you saw the heart of the gospel. You saw
yes.
the true gospel being presented. You saw the heart of true evangelism and what they were really, what their ministry was to the body of Christ, what their ministry was to the nations, and how it could be done with integrity and real just passion to see people set free.
Yes.
In Jesus. And in all of that, it took us months. That project, it was all-encompassing, and it took us months and months. But we came to the end of that, and then our publishing company really began to flourish. And so you and I were meeting every week, and we were talking about the details of what it would take to put this publishing company, you know, in place and what needed to happen. And you began to help me edit the books that were coming my way. You're a great editor. You see things that I don't see. I'm more of a big picture, global, make sure the story is what it needs to be. And you would bring in the details and the things that I was missing. And so I felt like we were good partners.
Yes.
In all of that. Plus, it was just enjoyable.
Yes.
We would laugh. We would get together. But here's the thing. Here's what I begin to notice about our meetings. We would meet and we would pray about the business. But as we would begin to pray about the business, the grace of God on your life would really begin to flow.
Yes.
And the more we went into, you know, the further we went into business, I began to see this gift of intercession on you and the way God used you to further what he wanted to do in 8L's Publishing. Not only would you pray and you would know how to pray to see breakthrough or to see things be built correctly, you would minister to me and you would help me really keep my focus where it needed to be. And it didn't take me long to understand what God was doing, that he was raising you up more in that capacity than anything else. Now, I will tell you right now, I miss your eyes on my projects. I miss that. But this is what I have come to learn, that your ministry of intercession is even more valuable to 8L's Publishing. And I really want to talk about that aspect of things a little bit today. So LaWanda, what do you see your ministry of intercession? How do you see that?
Oh, that's kind of a loaded question because I'm still really navigating that a lot. So it's honestly in the last couple of months. So it's so funny that things that are a natural outflow in your life, you don't even recognize that they're there. So you think you're not equipped. You think you don't have anything to offer in that area. And yet God is just pouring through. So for example, real early in my Christian walk, so I think this was the first open vision I had when I didn't even know what an open vision was. I saw myself standing on a very high mountaintop, like a Swiss Alps type mountaintop. And I was in full armor, but it's like you would see in the days Jesus walked the earth, the Roman centurion soldiers. And I saw a warrior, but I had no grit for that. And in that particular season, so this has been 35 years ago, the church at large was healing and starting on the path to becoming healthy. So there was a lot of spiritual abuse at that time. So I was told things like, oh, that's your pride. That's your pride because you're not even dirty. You obviously hadn't even been in the fight. You're too good to be in the fight and all this. So here just a couple of months ago, that vision began to stir in me again. And at the same time, I remembered a couple of years ago when Matt Gonzalez came to our church, and I never get called out for a word, which is fine, because I understand when you get called out for a public word, baby, hunker down, because here it comes. You're going to be tested. Right. So that's not something to highly desire. I mean, there's warfare associated with that, and you have to understand that. Mm-hmm. But Matt Gonzalez called me out and asked if he could prophesy to me, and he came over and he took my hand, and he just stood there and he said, what a prayer warrior. Mm-hmm. And began to pinpoint that I had been under warfare and that I was waking up at about 2 o'clock every morning, which did not even click with me until the moment he said it. He said, does that sound right? And I'm going, oh yeah. And then he broke it off of me. Well, a couple of months ago when this stirred in me, I just began to weep and began to profess and press in more to that, to where I could connect my belief and my faith to what God said about me. And I would tell the Lord, you said, I'm a mighty prayer warrior. You said, you gave me that vision. You said, that's who I am. And Lord, forgive me for not agreeing with your word, with what you said, for not taking you at your word. And so since then, there has been a new confidence building. Now, I'm still navigating it, but it's like, it's such a natural outflow. And then the Holy Spirit will go, see, there it is. You are a mighty prayer warrior. And we're in such a season of breakthrough that I'm just seeing movement quickly and seeing fruit quickly. And I'm looking forward to that enormous fruit that we're about to step into.
I love how you describe that. I think we all have that journey of really stepping into whoever God has called us to be in the kingdom. And we all have to deal with our own insecurities. We have to deal with our own understanding of what it means. We have to deal with what other people speak over us that's not true and not accurate, and we have to cast those things down. And we have to know that God has purpose and giftings for us that advance his purposes in the earth. And true humility is taking hold of that and allowing him to work through us in such a way that we let go of the world's way of things and we take hold of his way of things and we allow him to transform us into who he says we are. That's true humility. And in so many areas of, at least in the Pentecostal world, there's this fear that if I walk fully in who God says that I am, that it's pride. But I would say pride is the thing that holds us out of walking fully in who God says we are.
Yes.
If pride is me determining for myself some things, right? Whereas humility says, not my will, but thine be done. And if I'm going to do God's will, he's called me to co-rule with him. He's called me to co-create with him, just like we talked with Pastor Michael last week and with Taylor in the very first episode. We talked about the fact that we really are called to advance the kingdom. And that's who God created us to be in the first place, these co-rulers, co-creators. You know, there are all kinds of prayers in the Bible. Some of them are petition, where we're asking God for particular things. Some prayers are thanksgiving, where we're just thanking him, right, for who he is and the blessings that he bestows. There's adoration prayer, where we're just caught up in his presence and just loving on him and receiving from him. But intercession is unique.
Yes.
Intercession is a particular ministry that I think to some degree we all experience, but then there are those that have really been called into it. And I would say, LaWanda, you are one of those that has been called into intercession. As a matter of fact, when you were talking about your vision, that seemed to me to be that calling kind of vision that says, this is what I'm calling you into. And it's interesting you were standing on top of a mountain.
Yes.
Because intercession is all about climbing that mountain, right? Mm. Wouldn't you say that?
Yes.
It's all about climbing and scaling the mountain so that you can get on top of what the enemy is trying to do and what he's trying to steal, what he's trying to destroy, and you can stand with God on top of all of those things, and you're partnering with him, not just for yourself, you're partnering with him for your church, you're partnering with him for a business, you're partnering with him for a nation, right? How often, LaWanda, do you get just assignments in the spirit that you know you're supposed to pray through, and it's for something maybe is not even in your daily realm, but you know you've been tasked to do it?
I would say it's pretty frequent, and I'm trying to learn how to notice these things more because it's just such a natural outflow. And it was just yesterday, one of the business owners called me and said, you know, I'm really struggling today because we're coming up on busy season, and I'm so overwhelmed. I just left a meeting, and my office manager gave me a list of 15 things I've got to do right now, and he said, I'm just overwhelmed, and I could tell that was just paralyzing him. And it just, I mean, we're just innocently having a conversation. He didn't necessarily call me for prayer. He just called me. And in that instant, the Holy Spirit just showed me something that I knew scientifically, that our cells retain memory of things like, I think what I had read was like if you've had pneumonia, that memory stays in the cells and it can actually be stimulated and your body actually develop the symptoms of pneumonia again. And I began to see that for him, that this paralysis, this instantly being overwhelmed, was because of the memory in his cells of the stress of past busy seasons. And I told him, it landed with him, and I just said, are you ready for me to pray and break that off? And so he said, yeah, let me pull over. So then, you know, I have nothing in mind. So then the Holy Spirit just prays through us to do that.
Wow. Yes. I can say I've experienced that several times with you, you know, not understanding maybe what the warfare is in the moment. And then you have a word that just cuts through all of that, and you know how to pray and see the freedom, you know, replace the lie or the warfare or whatever it is that we're dealing with. And to me, LaWanda, this relationship that God has formed is very valuable in the way that he wants to build my company. I don't want to build in my own strength. I don't want to build, you know, my own empire, my own ideas, my own business on my model. I want to build the kingdom of God. I want to advance his kingdom however he wants me to advance it. And if that's through business, then that's what I want to do. But it's, I don't look at it as mine. I look at it as God's vision and his purposes. Well, I can't operate apart from the Spirit of God and advance his kingdom.
That's right.
And having an intercessor pray for me and pray for the business, to me, just makes sense. Like, why would you not? If you can't operate, if I don't want to operate in the flesh, I want to operate in the Spirit, then it would make sense to me that I would need somebody to partner with me that has that gift of intercession, that knows how to break strongholds, that knows how to break through anything that comes up and hinders, that knows how to pray over me when I'm struggling and when I need refreshment and encouragement. You know, it just, to me, when you start thinking of it that way, it doesn't make any sense why we would not partner together.
So true. And I think this is hilarious, but I 100% believe in kingdom businesses paying an intercessor or a team of intercessors, depending on where you are. But what's so crazy about it is it's becoming very clear to me that this is what God's calling me into. And I have such a struggle thinking about somebody paying me to do it.
Right. Well, and I think that's a great conversational point, because I don't think we need to go into those things lightly. We really do need to think them through, pray them through, get God's heart in it all, because there has been so much abuse in some areas, right? We don't want to foster that. We want to have God's heart. And for me, this is where I have landed with you, LaWanda, is, you know, like we talked about, our partnership was more of a traditional business partnership to begin with. But then we began to see what God was doing. And we just wanted to allow him to really build the way he wanted to build. And I want everybody associated with Adel's Publishing to just be who they are in Christ. And I began to see the way that he was using you. And it added so much value to me, and I valued it. It added so much value to my company, and I valued it. And when I began to really ask the questions, okay, I am paying her really to do freelance work for me. What does this need to look like then? And I think that it's a difficult question.
Yes.
Because we don't want to be in a Simon the Sorcerer kind of situation where he wanted to pay money for the gift of God, right?
Yes.
He wanted to be able to buy the ministry from the disciples and the way that they were operating in it. And so I think very often for people to think about an intercessor getting paid, their mind immediately jumps to that kind of a situation. Well, number one, I know that that's not your heart.
Right.
I know your heart, and I know that the way that God has built our relationship around this business, and if the truth be told, very often you haven't even been paid for some of the things that you've done because we're building a new business, but that hasn't fazed you whatsoever. So I would say this for those struggling in this idea of should intercessors be paid, I would say this. If God has set up a partnership, and he has in this situation, and you know that it's a ministry that God is birthing, like, I trust your heart because of the history that we have, right?
Right.
I want to be able to bless you. If you're going to bless my company with who you are, then I want to be able to bless you back. And, you know, we pay our pastors, right? Yes. We don't pay for their giftings. We right. pay for what, who they are and just their life ministry to the body of Christ, but they are to be blessed in return.
Yes.
If a visiting evangelist comes in, we take up an offering for him and we bless him in return. Why? Because he's given his life to the call of God. He's given his life over to a particular ministry. And it's no different with an intercessor. You have given your life over. Now I know that you're involved in several businesses that God has opened up for you, and you've given your life over to this thing. It just would make sense in the way that the Christian community is supposed to be generous with one another, the way that we're supposed to sow into one another and give to one another. I can't just take your ministry, take your time, take the amount of energy and struggle with warfare that you engage in on my behalf and take that lightly. So I want to be able to bless you in return. And for me, having you on my employees somewhat, you know, in my sphere of employees or freelancers that come alongside me, then it just makes sense to me that I need to value that monetarily. Does that resonate with you?
Yes, but it's like I'm still having to navigate it. But part of it is just stepping more deeply into healing of views about money.
Right.
In that I grew up with too much, so I got stuff instead of affection. And so I've actually had to, now, I believe in abundance. I mean, everybody in God's Word was immensely wealthy, so I've not ever had any problem with that. It was just the hang up of you gave me money instead of affection. I got money instead of what I needed. So it's like I developed a hatred towards money. And so then to be paid for something that's a natural outflow, I mean, it's just I'm navigating more in my healing. And
right.
that's where you have helped me tremendously, Christine. And that is the thing about how God always works. He never takes from one to give to another. Both receive.
Yes.
And you can study that in, I believe it's Philippians chapter 4, where it talks about real fellowship. There's a giving into and a receiving out of. So it's never that I sit down expecting to take from you or that you ever expect to take from me. Jesus is in the middle of us, and there is a flow.
Yes.
My best illustration of that is if you turn the water hose on, the hose gets wet.
Yes. Oh, I love it. That was beautiful. And that is what we have experienced.
Yes.
Real fellowship in the Spirit, real community in one another because Jesus is sitting in the middle.
This has been a great conversation so far. Let's take a quick break. So you may have heard Christine talk about her Freedom Friends and ask yourself, who are these people? Where are they from? What is freedom? Freedom is a church that's all about loving God and loving people. We feel that no one should go through life alone and that you're much stronger with others around you. You can experience freedom every Sunday at 10 a.m. in person or online. The church location is 507 North Highway 77, Building 1300 in the Northgate Plaza. Come to know our vision, our heart, and meet our pastors. We'd also love to know more about you. Now, back to the episode.
You know, you talked about this idea of money. Pastor John has really led us into a season of coming into the understanding of how do we view money? Is it an idol in our heart? Because if I'm looking to place my trust in money, then my trust is misplaced.
Right.
And Jesus has things to say about that.
Oh, yes.
Right? If I don't believe that God wants to bless me in any way, and I have to live constantly in struggle and lack, then I don't know that that's full trust in the Lord either. And so and Jesus has things to say about that. Now, are there people that are called to live more solitary and maybe without some things? You know, maybe so. I don't know that. But what I have really come to understand is the idea of the blessing of God. I want to unpack that and bring it back to this idea of what intercession really is. So in the beginning, God creates the earth, correct?
Yes.
Most of that earth is uncultivated land. We're not really given much detail about that in the beginning. We're given no detail about that in the beginning because God created a garden. And in that garden, he created man, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve lacked for nothing. They didn't have to search for food. There was fruit on all the trees. They didn't have to thirst and look for water. There was a river that ran through the garden. Everything they needed was there. However, after the fall, they were exiled from that garden. And they made their way out into the places on the earth that were uncultivated, where they would have to experience some dryness, some aridness. Maybe they would thirst for the first time. They would have to maneuver difficult terrain. They would need to search for food, and that they would have relational issues between the two of them, because that was another aspect of the fall that wasn't there previous to Genesis, you know, yes, to that experience in Genesis. And so we ourselves, when we're born into this fallen world, are already in that exiled state. And we have to struggle and struggle and struggle our whole lives, right? But the beautiful thing about Jesus is that in Jesus, we're brought back into the abundant life that God intended, just like that garden, right, where he provides for us, he walks with us. We don't have to thirst in our spirits, because now the Spirit of God just, you know, he fills the need that we have within ourselves. Jesus actually brings us back into the reality of that abundant life. And he is the one who experienced the full ramification of the curse and broke its power over us so that we might be brought back into God's blessing. And really, to me, that is what the ministry of intercession is, because we are all having to let go. Once we come into Jesus, we're all having to let go of the lack, the unhealed places, the dry and arid places, right? And
yes,
we have an enemy who wants to keep us there.
That's right.
Who wants to rob this abundant blessing from us. And we are learning how to be those co-rulers with God and co-creators with God. And there's this struggle. It's called spiritual warfare.
Yes, yes.
You know, you kind of touched on it earlier, spiritual warfare. A lot of Christians think that that's the whole point of living the Christian life, is that we just are so aware of the devil and that's all we do, right, is fight. But I would say that it certainly has its place in what we do, but what we're really called to do is take hold of the abundant life that Jesus wants to give. Now, in that, we're going to have to fight some spiritual warfare to get there, and that is what intercession is. What do you think about that?
That's a great perspective, because, I'll give you an example. Warfare is not always what we think it is. We think sometimes we think it's railing at the devil. It's when it is rest.
Yes,
rest is major warfare.
Yes,
and it confuses the enemy because he doesn't know what to do with it. Because we should be, because of our circumstances, in the middle of anxiety and fret and fear, but whoa, we're at peace. And I love that scripture that says, the God of peace will crush Satan,
yes,
under your feet.
Yes.
That's amazing to me. that peace, rest, hope is absolutely railing on the enemy.
Absolutely it is.
And also, I think one of my favorite scriptures in Colossians 2:15 is about where Jesus led captivity captive, where he made an open display of the enemy. And when you read the footnote in the Passion Translation, it actually talks about how we are positioned, whether we're part of the fivefold ministry or whether we're believers, to enforce the works of the cross. So this morning I was praying for a friend that recently received a huge promotion that God set up and gave her witness to that, yes, he was calling her into this, but in the middle of the struggle, it's easy to start doubting. And I do crazy things like this, but it's because the Holy Spirit has told me to keep the atmosphere in my home conducive to the glory, to where I'm free to, well, I guess it's like you could say I'm insulated. I prophetically sweep my house every morning. And as I'm doing that, the Holy Spirit will sometimes tell me what to bind. Sometimes it's just sweeping the floor and saying, if it's not like you, it doesn't get to dwell in this atmosphere.
Wow.
And things of that nature. Well, as I did that, I also began to stand in the gap for this friend and declaring over her office, her space, that was getting swept out, because she's actually in a new office now, that be swept clean, because the Lord's the one that put her there. And just beginning to enforce that, God set her in that place. He gave her headship like that in that company, and there isn't anything that can dwell in that office that's not like him, in her particular workspace, that it's all got to go. It's not permitted anymore. And it was just a confident, calm, like, no, you can't be in here. And it wasn't anything yelling, or it was just stating the fact, no, you can't be in here.
It was just stating the fact. It was just declaring the truth, because the truth is that we have been given authority over the enemy, right? And I love how you said about the cross, that you are, what was the term you used about establishing the works of the cross?
We're here to enforce.
Enforce.
We're enforcers of Jesus. So every time we stay in peace in the midst of circumstances, every time we stay in rest when nothing around us is saying rest, every time we stay still when everything around us is saying, I've got to do something, I've got to do something, I've got to fix this, the enemy, it defeats him. And there's always, in those moments, we always feel so alone, but we're not alone, because that's the trick of the enemy. He wants to make us feel small so that we'll think he's too big and we can't defeat it. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter what size we are, like David said, as the boy about to kill the giant, it's how big is our God.
Oh, that's good. That's good. You know why rest is so important? Because it's us staying in the blessing of God.
Yes.
It's us staying in his presence and trusting him and allowing him to work.
Yes.
You know, the blessing of God is something that's very tangible. God is a blesser, and he wants to pour that blessing out upon his people. Peace, forgiveness, provision, restoration, mercy, relational health, joy, love, physical health. It's life in the garden.
Yes.
It's back to that idea of life in the garden. And in all of that, true intercession is the prayer that recognizes where the enemy is attempting to steal those things and says, no, you can't have that. Because, you know, again, God is trying to get us to the place of walking in the authority that he has given us. And we need one another to do that. We can't do that in our own strength, and we really can't do it alone because we've been placed in the body of Christ, and we need one another to stir one another, to comfort one another, to encourage one another, and to really kind of stand beside each other, link arms, and say, we're going to do this thing together. God freely blesses, but we have a choice of whether we're going to take that for ourselves or trust God to bring about his blessing. Am I going to try to bring about God's blessing in my own strength, on my own terms? Which, how many times did we see that fail throughout the scriptures? Or am I going to trust him? And in trusting him, I'm going to come at it with prayer, dependence upon God, and allowing Holy Spirit to lead the way. And in all of that, you find the ministry of intercession. You know, LaWanda, you also were one of the contributors to the book that has just come out from Freedom, Streams Are for Fun. We talked to Pastor Michael Holmes last week about his chapter, and you dealt with the subject of fear. Fear in business owners, fear of taking a risk, fear of stepping out, and how we have to overcome that. And I thought your chapter, number one, your chapter so encouraged me, but I thought it was so apropos for who you are. You know, like so many of us in that book are writing from a very practical aspect of business. And you wrote from an intercessor who ministers to business owners, knowing that this is a key factor in what we deal with, right? How did you come about choosing that subject matter for your chapter?
Well, I'd have to say it's from personal experience. Because of I talk about in the book how I grew up with entrepreneurial parents, but my dad was the one that he was the risk taker, which is very common. And my mother, on the other hand, was like, work for somebody else, let them take the risk. She was the non-risk taker. So it's like a kind of got pulled both ways. My dad was telling me I can do anything. My mother was saying, go for the security. So it's like I began to view being in business as too much trouble, too much weight. It was easier to work for somebody else. And yet in every position I held in my career, the same things kept happening. I would get behind a visionary and make it happen. What they envisioned, I could put things in place, move things out of the way, not having any clue that that was actually part of intercession. And one of the positions I held for 15 years, I did investor relations. This is the world's, one of the world's definition of investor relations. Of course, it's liaison between the management of the company and the investors. But one of the definitions is intercessor. Wow. Now, they don't mean it like we as Christians understand intercession. They just mean a go-between, a gap stander. And so I found out from looking back that I always stepped into that place of standing in that gap to bring together from what was needed to come into place for that visionary to where it flowed. A really good analogy is like, well, we're in the Dallas area. So if you have someone come in that's not used to Dallas traffic and you've got to take two vehicles, you never want to get them to follow you. It's going to be a mess. You're going to lose each other. But if you will put them in front of you, you can actually guide them from behind. So you know when the exit's coming up. So you can signal. They can be paying attention in the rear view and see that you're signaling that you're moving to the right lane, and you're actually making the gap for them to be able to pull over in the right lane in the midst of almost bumper-to-bumper traffic. So that's the way I began to see gap standing. And it comes out of everything that I do.
I absolutely love that analogy. I've never heard that before, but I love it. I can say that you have done that for me as well. You know, if I will watch you, you will turn your blinker on and I know where to go. You say this in your chapter, and I love this. This is actually how you start your chapter off. Starting a business requires confidence in your idea, but most of all, in who you are. It's easy to find yourself in negative self-talk, doubting and questioning, because entrepreneurship is born through risk. Everything of value in life requires some degree of risk. For example, it's risky to love because you might get hurt. Just as Alfred Lord Tennyson once said, "'Tis better to have loved and lost to have never loved at all." Getting to that place of confidence and pushing through the fear is a glorious process that helps us navigate other areas of life successfully. Although I'm not a huge risk taker, the thought of living a life of regret does not appeal to me. I much prefer to take risk than to live in regret. Fear can whisper words of safety and security that lulls us into a walled fortress of self-protection. And this self-protection is the enemy of forward motion, truth, intimacy with God, and the abundant life Jesus paid in full. That's a profound statement.
Well, I'm laughing about it because it was the story of my life for a lot of years. And you get to the place where, in fact, it hadn't been that many years that I'm just like, okay— But you can't be under a pastor like Pastor John and live a life of safety because it's not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen.
In fact, you just reading that out loud stirred in me a vision that I had when I first started coming to Freedom. And it was a crazy vision. So here again, we've got a mountain, and it is like a straight-up, jagged, treacherous, dangerous mountain. And Pastor John is just taking these huge strides up this mountain and flying up this mountain. But he's got me by the hand behind him. And I am just flying up this mountain with him, but in my peripheral, I will start to see how dangerous it is and how scary. And I start to get a look of fear on my face. And every time that happens, John will turn around and go, "Hey, come on, it's fun." And it gets my focus up the mountain again, and I continue to glide up with him. Well, that right there in a nutshell is what it's like going to church at Freedom.
Absolutely it is. If we'll keep our eyes ahead of us, it is fun. But there are some things that we have to battle through. And for you, when you were telling me that vision, I was just seeing all over again this idea of intercession. Because you have to be aware of the pitfalls, right?
Yes.
You have to be aware of what the enemy is trying to do. We just can't live in the fear of all of that.
No.
We have to understand who we are. And where God is leading us and where he's taking us. And we have to fully commit to going there with the Lord, which absolutely is who Freedom is. And yet we have to be wise in how we accomplish that. We have to see the things that God wants us to see and battle effectively.
Yes.
Not battle in a sense that we're just worn out and worn down, but battle effectively from a place of victory, knowing that ultimately what God is wanting us to do is take the mountain, right?
Yes.
He's wanting us to take the mountain. He is a God that doesn't sit and, you know, there's so many images that God is so disappointed in us and he's just waiting to bring judgment. Listen, God brings judgment. That is his last resort.
That's right.
Now, I'm not saying that he doesn't, because obviously he brought the flood, right? But he brought the flood because the scripture says that every intention of their hearts was evil, and he needed to reestablish his purposes.
Yes.
That's why he brings judgment. It's to help reestablish his purposes. And all he's looking for in us is a people who will trust him, surrender to him, and know how good he is. He is a good and gracious father. He is so much more merciful than anything that we could imagine. He is so good. He is so patient with us and kind with us. But what he's wanting us to understand is that he's called us up and out and to live victoriously. He doesn't want us under the boot of the enemy.
That's
he
right.
doesn't want us to be to constantly live in constant warfare and battle and sickness and lack. He wants us to live abundantly. And we've got to switch our mindset and we've got to put our eyes on him, just like you had your eyes on Pastor John. Pastor John had his eyes on Jesus.
That's right.
And that's where our eyes need to be, that we need to have our eyes so set and so focused on God and God's reign and the kingdom, that we are being lifted up and raised up, especially in this hour of everything that's come into the world. God is looking to raise his church up so that we might truly be who we've been called to be and get out of the religious stuff that just shuts us down throughout history. We go through these times in history where religion just takes over, and God has to come in and he has to do something radical to get hold of us so that we lift our eyes to him again and we understand what it is he wants to do in the earth. And I would say what he wants to do in the earth is make himself known, but make the truth of who he is known, not who we have thought he is, not all of this distortion of who he is, but who he really is. And he's doing that in a myriad of ways. Is he refocusing the church and refining the church? Yes. So that we would know and we would be know him and we would be able to rightly represent him. But he's also sending us forth and sending us out in every aspect of life. And one of those areas is business.
Yes.
Business owners, kingdom-minded business owners are a tool right now in God's hand where
yes.
he can just expand his blessing into the earth because that's his heart. His
Absolutely.
Heart is to bless mankind. His heart is to bless us. And he's given us the authority to deal with the enemy, who is the one who has come to rob, kill, and destroy. So, LaWanda, I want to close with this. Your ministry of intercession in my business helps me effectively advance the kingdom. You are a kingdom advancer. That's who you are. And I value your ministry. It is so high up on my list. And if I don't want to take that for granted, and I want to bless you. And I know that other kingdom-minded business owners feel the same way. I think of Eden Creek Landscaping, which you do the same kind of ministry for them, and they highly value your partnership in advancing the kingdom of God. And so for anybody that is out there wondering, how can intercessors be used in business? Or is it, do I even need to pay an intercessor? Well, you know, all of the questions that are the right questions to ask. I hope that this podcast in some degree has fostered the idea that this is a valuable piece within our companies that we need to really look into and we need to come into agreement with God about. And I think we all have our own personal journey in that. But this is what I know. If it doesn't proceed from faith, it's sin for somebody.
That's right.
Well, for me, it proceeds from my faith, how valuable you are in my company. And therefore, if I value you in that manner, I should also bless you in that manner. So for me, that is the faith piece, to understand the role of an intercessor in business. And I don't want to go forward without you. So thank you for being my guest today. This conversation, is not a conversation that I think I've really heard anywhere, to be honest with you.
Yeah, me neither.
So we're thinking things out and we're seeking God's heart in it all. But I know how valuable you are to 8 Owls Publishing, and I just thank you for it.
It's my pleasure.
For those interested in reading Streams Are for Fun, written by the Business Owners of Freedom Fellowship, you may find that both on Amazon and 8OwlsPublishing.com. We have one more episode in season one next week, and we're going to be talking with Hannah Scholes, and we're going to continue this idea of intercession as we talk about the book that I wrote, One Small Voice, and how it impacted her as she read it. I have so enjoyed this initial season of talking to these amazing people. Season two is going to be a continuation of just the interesting conversations we've had in season one, and you don't want to miss it.
Thank you for listening to Renaissance Voices. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast to hear more from your favorite authors at 8 Owls Publishing. You can also follow us on our social media, linked down in the show notes. Dios los bendiga.